Who did what and who said what?
Oh my God.
Really?
Seriously?
Really?
I can't be true.
A little bit of this and that.
What are you saying?
Just Talking. Brought to you by In.com.
All those moments that you're stuck in traffic, where the lights refuse to turn green, when there are people constantly honking even though there's no place to go, and you're stuck in the middle of all of it. Don't you just wish you had a magic carpet? Well, at least it's possible on screen. This is Just Talking, brought to you by In.com, and my name is Kritika. So Aladdin, the musical, is back on screens. The trailer came out a few months ago and it's full of surprises. Some things remain the same, like how there's a magic carpet and there are amazing people voicing Iago and other characters. And this one guy, Frank Welker, is back voicing just like he did in the original film. But he doesn't just voice one character. He voices Abu the monkey, Raja the Bengal tiger, and the Cave of Wonders. But this new edition also has a lot of changes. It has an Egyptian origin actor playing Aladdin. His name is Mena Masood. There's a British actor, Naomi Scott, playing Princess Jasmine. Now, when you see her pictures, you know she's white. But they've cast her as Princess Jasmine, so they have to give her a brown tan or some weird filter to make her look like a character from the Arabian Nights. I don't know why they couldn't just find someone from the Middle East. But that's not even the weirdest casting yet. Guess who plays Genie? Okay, the trailer's been out for a while, you don't have to guess, but Will Smith has been cast as the magical, mystical creature that lives in a lamp and grants wishes. And this decision of theirs brought about some mixed reactions, because it's great that they're adding some changes to the original story with casting like this, and Will Smith can easily play an eccentric trickster come mentor. But this also seems like Walt Disney was trying too hard to be inclusive. You don't have to force fit a black man into a story about Arabian Nights to convince the world that you're not xenophobic. But Will Smith must have had quite a challenge on his hands, because the last guy who played Genie in the original movie was Robin Williams. And that's some big expectations to live up to. We'll see how well he's pulled this off. He's a great actor, no matter what Walt Disney's agenda is. Now, while we're going to enjoy one of our favorite fantasies from childhood on screen again, let's take a look at some other movies that are back on screen but with changes. Beauty and the Beast, one of those fairy tales we've read when we were little, and it pretty much follows the regular format of fairy tales. There's a very beautiful maiden, fate plays a cruel trick on her, and she has to use her wits and wait for Prince Charming to come to his senses to live happily ever after. But in this new version that came out in 2017, Beauty was not just Beauty. Her name is Belle, and she's anything but a helpless damsel in distress. Some qualities are just like the original, like how she loves her father more than anything in the world and switches places with him at the Beast's castle because she's like that. She's the kind who can sacrifice her freedom and teaches everyone who watches the movie that sometimes you should put others before you. But they added quite some new twists, like making her a feminist and a bibliophile. She isn't just a beautiful girl that everyone admires. She's quite an oddball. She's a little weirdo that the other villagers just can't figure out. And these new qualities worked out very well, because whether or not people know the exact meaning of feminism, anything with a feminist angle gets a mark of approval on social media these days. But Walt Disney had its heart in the right place with this one. People who saw it for the first time witnessed something spectacular on screen. And people who'd seen the original and were seeing the story again in live action with motion capture also had something spectacular to see on screen with nice new twists. Tangled. This one follows the story of the long-haired lass Rapunzel, but this one probably saw the most number of changes from the original story. For starters, instead of being locked up in the tower and then leading a pretty depressing life before her happily ever after, the Rapunzel in Tangled is a very feisty, resourceful girl who sets off on this massive adventure with a criminal. A criminal instead of a prince. Nice touch. And in the original German fairy tale, Rapunzel actually gets pregnant with twins. This girl knew how to have fun, a little too much if you ask me. And she has to live many, many years wandering and raising these kids herself before she meets her prince again. God, that's so morbid. And we were so misled in our childhood because we were told fairy tales were supposed to be happy. The original Rapunzel is more of a tale where you're given a warning about the challenges of being a single mom. But the animated movie is a super fun adventure where the princess actually ends up saving Mr. Charming on more than one occasion. Although it looks great and all, try finding one single person, boy or girl, wholly willing to maintain that much hair. Way too much commitment for our generation, if you ask me. Snow White, the fairy tale. Again, this is one story that makes the stepmom seem really evil. She's a queen and she's self-obsessed and she wants to be the fairest of all. Now, how has this not become a plot for a Fair and Lovely ad yet? Because if anyone loves Fair and Lovely, it's us Indians. Some weird colonial hangover. So, the original story is about a princess who has to go live in the forest with 7 dwarves and the prince comes and saves her from a poisoned apple. In the reboot, which came out in 2012, Snow White is in the forest and instead of a prince, we have a man who starts hunting her. Before they eventually move over to the same side and fall in love and all of that, they cast Kristen Stewart as Snow White. I don't think they had too much work in the makeup department because she's already so pale. Chris Hemsworth plays the huntsman. Wait a minute. Snow White needs to be hunted down and they find someone like Chris Hemsworth to do that job? Why do only creeps hunt girls in real life? I don't know why Disney wants us to cry again, but they're remaking The Lion King. It's so much fun and happy throughout with Timon and Pumbaa adding all the craziness. I don't know anyone who hasn't seen the film yet, but I still don't want to give out any spoilers just in case. But that one moment where Simba thinks he's responsible for something when he's actually not and has to run away, that just breaks my heart every time I see it. And now we're gonna see it again in animation. So much clearer, so it'll be so much sadder. This version of The Lion King that's gonna come out this year pretty much follows the plot of the first one. The biggest changes here are in terms of animation. The first one that came out in 1994 was also by Walt Disney and they used traditional animation methods for that. This one uses virtual reality tools and they're going to use motion capture. To give you a better idea, if you've seen the new version of The Jungle Book that came out in 2016, it's pretty much as real as that because it's the same folks who are overseeing the animation. Plus, the voice cast this time is incredible. Donald Glover plays Simba the Lion and Beyoncé plays Nala. They managed to get Queen Bee herself to be a part of this because the team decided they'd wait as long as they needed to just for her. Another thing that changes is the music. Hans Zimmer is back as the guy on music duties, but he's going to add some changes and Beyoncé is going to do her bit this time as well. Can't wait to see what the entire movie sounds like. It's going to be awesome. God, movies like this, they shouldn't release the trailers too early. It just gets us way too excited. Cinderella, it's quite sad as a fairy tale, at least in the beginning, because a lot of times the protagonists in these movies are princesses and everything, and here she's just a regular girl who has an evil stepmother and has to do all these chores and also gets stuck with a very mean name because she gets Cinder on herself. I wonder why they told kids stories like this. Maybe to make them lose faith in humanity at an early age, you know, so that you don't grow up and suddenly realize that people are twisted. Also not a very great story to tell children about stepmothers and stepsisters because somehow it gives a very horrible impression of them. But anyway, this movie came back on screen in 2015 and it stars Lily Rose as Ella. Now, the biggest change we saw in this version of the fairy tale is that it's not entirely a musical like the original was. There's still song and dance, and Cinderella singing in the end plays a huge part in how the story finishes. But it's not an entire musical like the last time. And the other big change is that they introduced a catchphrase. It goes, "Have courage and be kind." It's what Ella's mother tells her before she dies, and she keeps displaying these qualities throughout the movie. So this is quite a good model to teach children, you know, as opposed to saying wait for the prince to save the day. But the biggest change for me was the fairy godmother. They cast Helena Bonham Carter as the fairy who helped Cinderella transform herself for the royal ball. She's played so many evil characters on screen before in Harry Potter and Alice in Wonderland, and what she does to that poor kid in Sweeney Todd, that's it. Helena Bonham Carter as a fairy godmother. Now I've seen everything. That's the biggest freaking change. Alice in Wonderland was supposed to be this nice story where kids realize it's okay to daydream. It's okay to think of really weird possibilities, you know, before you grow up and realize everyone's version of normal is way too boring. The movie made a comeback on screen in 2010 and it was way, way darker than the original we've seen earlier. It's dark fantasy. Kind of like The Cookies, but a lot more short-lived in popularity. So it's a very grown-up version of the story. Little girl Alice just runs away from boredom and follows a white rabbit. But in this version, Alice is all grown up and she's running away from a marriage proposal. Pretty much all of us can identify with her reaction. I don't blame her. Because whether it's India or England, there's always going to be an auntie whose only job seems to be hooking up people for marriage. And Helena Bonham Carter plays the Red Queen. See what I was talking about? She plays evil roles so easily. Off with her head! Just rolls off her tongue every few seconds. Now, the previous version of Alice in Wonderland just aimed at giving you a sense of awe and wonder. The new one added a lot of psychology in the tale. You can see why each character behaves the way he or she does. And they seem more relatable in this version. I'm not so sure kids would have enjoyed this version so much, but who's complaining? They have enough distractions. It's us adults who need some fantasy that tells us everything's gonna be alright in the end. So kids, move over. The Jungle Book, it literally was that, a book, before it was made into an animated movie by Walt Disney. It followed the format that Disney movies with creatures usually do. One guy who wants to lead you astray and who's very fun-loving, one who wants the best for you and acts as a mentor, and lots of song and dance. Now, the one that came out in 2016 follows a similar plot, and even the characters are quite the same, but it's a lot darker. The only thing Mowgli had to fear in the earlier version was Shere Khan, but in this one, the jungle is a lot scarier as a place. It's full of secrets. And Mowgli acts on guilt in this one. He's a little boy, but Baloo convinces him to destroy a beehive. And little Mowgli also has to deal with a lot of pain. And not just emotional pain. Because bee stings hurt like a bee. Not gonna complete that word. Also, this was a combination of live action and CGI, so everything looks different. The jungle is so much more beautiful and so much more scary because the details just hit you. And Jon Favreau again managed a kick-ass cast with Lupita Nyong'o and Scarlett Johansson and Ben Kingsley and Idris Elba, all of them playing their parts beautifully. There's gonna be a sequel as well. They put it on hold because Jon Favreau was also making The Lion King. He has his hands full, this guy. The only fantasy he must be wishing for right now is a vacation. Maleficent features Angelina Jolie in the lead role. So this story is essentially that of Sleeping Beauty. You know the story, princess is born, princess is cursed, princess falls asleep, prince comes and gives her the kiss of love, and they live happily ever after. I love this new version though, because it's still the same story, the same concept, but it tells you the entire chain of events from the perspective of the evil witch. Well, she's evil in the original version. In this, you see how she's totally justified in doing whatever she did. So much more wholesome than just introducing a bad witch, no? There are quite a few other twists in this tale. It's usually the prince who saves the day, but in this version, it's Maleficent herself. Also, the king in the earlier version is a very sweet old man who loves his daughter and tries his best to keep her out of harm's way. But in this, the king is just a crazy, power-hungry nut job. And instead of the witch, he's the real bad guy. That's quite a twist they added to this one. Walt Disney has always given us something to look forward to, except sometimes the wait is just a little too long. But every few months, there's a treat on the big screen for us, and we'll never be bored of stories that are so familiar to us. There might be a lot of changes, but you just know that at the end of it, everything's gonna be just fine. This is Just Talking, brought to you by In.com, and my name is Kritika.
Just Talking, brought to you by In.com.